Live from WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Monday, February 28th, 2022. Tonight on WNUR News, Northwestern's lifted mask mandate, Batman is back, and Tuesday, 2/22/2022. Those stories and more coming up now on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday evening as the Small Craft Advisory expires. It's the last day of February. Hope it's been a good month and hope you survived the Dominic Fike scene in the Euphoria season finale. It's also the last day of our annual fundraiser, Phonathon. This is the one time a year we ask our listeners for support to keep our station on air and ad-free. Donate online at wnur.org/donate or call 847-866-WNUR. Again, that's wnur.org/donate or 847-866-9687. All contributions make a difference, and thank you to those who have donated so far. In campus local tonight, today Northwestern relaxed many of its masking requirements in public spaces, including athletic facilities, administrative areas, and residence halls. With such a significant adjustment taking place, how are students reacting to the news? Reporter Trevor Duggins finds out.
Last Thursday, Northwestern students received an email from University Vice President for Operations, Luke Fugora, about the relaxing of masking requirements starting today, February 28th. This change coincides with Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to end the Illinois mandate in most indoor facilities, including bars, restaurants, gyms, and stores. Proof of vaccination is also not required at these locations, according to officials. Notably, however, the mask mandate will still be in place at Chicago public schools, along with healthcare settings, long-term care facilities, congregant living facilities, public transportation, and airports. Any other additional requirements will be at the discretion of private institutions, and all of these decisions are based on recommendations from the CDC. As it pertains to Northwestern, the email from Figueroa reads, quote, "Masking will be optional in university administrative spaces, research labs, public spaces, public events, athletic facilities, and non-classroom communal spaces. Masks will remain a requirement in classrooms, lab-based classes, and other spaces where instruction takes place at least through March 19th. Symptom tracker will also no longer be required to enter dining areas, gyms, and other locations." End quote. To learn more about how university members feel about this change, I spoke to three students with different perspectives on the new evolution of the masking requirement. First is RTVF Junior from California, Elizabeth Davis.
I saw the email. I think that wearing masks doesn't impact my life at all, and that it doesn't bother me to do so. So as such, for me, I'm willing to wear it if it means that we're preventing spreading COVID and preventing deaths and things like that. It doesn't bother me, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't see the need to end the mask mandate, but I guess I'm not angry about it.
The updated requirements also pose specific challenges to film students who have the additional caveat of being in close proximity to each other while being on set.
I met with my producers the 2 hours after we got the email that said that it was going to be that we wouldn't have to theoretically. I'm not sure how much masks actually help in terms of being on set, but I think that when we're all in one small space, it makes sense. And they also have pretty stringent testing rules. You have to get tested 24 hours before you're on set.
Another RTVF student who preferred to stay anonymous also weighed in on the requirements on set.
For now, I will definitely ask people to still wear masks because I feel like this is just more responsible for the whole community. Everybody signs up not to get COVID.
However, the students interviewed felt comfortable with the university's decision and that it was a logical next step in moving towards a new normal. This includes Kavi Subramanian, a freshman from San Francisco, who explained his experience with the requirements as a new student.
I would say I'm leaning towards in support of it, but I also realize all of the politics surrounding it and what it means to be supportive of alleviating mask mandates. But I think in this case that it seems all right. And I don't think that relaxing mask mandates in libraries or like residential areas is necessarily going to have that much of an effect on COVID cases.
If the school policy says that, I'm pretty comfortable with that, because to some extent, life has to go on. And we've been wearing masks for 2 years, and it feels tiring.
But when asked, students had different opinions on whether they'd personally wear masks where it isn't required.
When it comes to like bigger public spaces, I think it's more of like a, I'm going to wear a mask because I'll feel uncomfortable. So that like, if I'm sitting in Norris all day long, I'll probably be wearing a mask for most of it. But I don't know if I am concerned about the school's decision.
I probably in libraries won't be wearing a mask while I'm studying anymore. If I think that if I've been in contact with someone with COVID, I'll probably abstain from going to libraries. Or if I do go to libraries, definitely wearing a mask. But in general, probably not.
I will still wear masks, but I don't feel anything about the school policy, but I read the email and it says if you feel uncomfortable, you can wear a mask. So I guess for now, I would say I will wear a mask.
But for now, the most important thing is to make sure you stay safe. Experts still recommend wearing masks while in crowded indoor areas and getting tested for COVID-19 regularly. For WNUR News, I'm Trevor Duggins.
WNUR News will return after these messages. Stay tuned.
Three tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison, why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and I never text and drive. On to arts and entertainment. Friends, Romans, countrymen, Batman is nearly upon us. As part of the Warner Brothers Collegiate Journalists Press Junket, WNUR News' own Maria Camaño attended a press conference for the new movie. Here she is with more.
After 13 films and 8 different actors taking on the classic role, Batman is back once again, but with a new twist. Directed by the famous Matt Reeves, the Batman delves into the Caped Crusader's second year of fighting crime, and Bruce Wayne's work as a detective, uncovering corruption in Gotham City and going after the notorious villain, the Riddler. I was invited by Warner Brothers to the Batman's press conference, where Reeves had this to say about this new take on Bruce Wayne's story.
I knew that I wanted to take this iteration of a younger Batman who was early in his arc, that there was room for growth, room for an awakening, and put him at the center of this mystery that would pull us into the path of all of these characters. And, you know, like the opening shot of the movie is something that I just saw when I started trying to think about like the Riddler and point of view and the idea of getting inside of his perspective. For me, what I love when I go to the movies is I love that idea of putting the audience in this empathic relationship with characters that the audience isn't, so that they can experience this kind of immersion into somebody else's perspective. It was more the idea that led to the visual.
Reeves wanted to explore more of Bruce Wayne's detective side and drew much inspiration from old films and comics from the 70s, like Batman Year One and Ego.
On a comics front, you know, I did a deep dive and read so many comics, and I mean, there are a few. I would say tonally that Year One, there was something in the tone of that. It was grounded in a way, and also felt cinematic in a way that reminded me of like an American 70s movie or something, you know what I mean? And then, you know, Ego by Darwin Cook was really important because it was really dealing with the psychology of being Batman, the idea of the beast within and him kind of in an internal struggle, which I thought was really captivating and informed it. And I would say The Long Halloween, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, that was super important because it was this idea of a kind of serial killer who had a series of crimes, and the idea of Batman getting kind of caught up in that as the world's greatest detective. I felt like, okay, if drawing from those, I think, on the comic book front was really important. And then as far as the movie that were inspirational, I you know, it was a lot of... to me, there's a way in which Gordon and Batman in this movie are Woodward and Bernstein. You know what I mean? There's the whole thing, there's all this corruption, and how high does it go? And so it's kind of like All the President's Men, and there's a bit of French Connection, and there's a bit of Taxi Driver, and there's a bit of, you know, it's a neo-noir, it's like Alan Pakula, it's like Clute. You know, the relationship between Clute and Bree Daniels is very much informs the relationship between Batman and Selina.
The film has a star-studded cast of Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne, Zoe Kravitz, Paul Dano, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, Peter Sarsgaard, Andy Serkis, and Colin Farrell, who people have been excited to see take on classic roles like Catwoman or The Riddler. When asked about how they were able to have such great chemistry as Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, actors Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz had this to say.
It was very easy. You know, me and Rob have been friends for a long time, and I think a lot of it was on the page, and I think a lot of, you know, it's really, you know, what Matt wrote, right, where the emotional states of both of these characters was so clear, and the connection that they find in each other and why they connect was so clear. So I feel like it was kind of built in, you know, these people really, they've both felt alone their entire lives, and to meet somebody who has a similar way of thinking and that grabs you the way that they kind of grab each other, I think it really is the heart of the story, and it's a really big deal for both these characters to feel this way. So, you know, if you're attached to your character emotionally, it's really easy to play that part of it.
And on massive productions like this, I think it's quite easy to feel quite disconnected from the story because there's so many moving parts, and to have another performer who's, you can really see, is putting everything into it. It kind of, you know, it's a reflective experience where you kind of, you know, makes you want to work harder, and it kind of, and you can see that, you know, I could have looked at Zoe all the time. Even when we were doing rehearsals, she was, you know, trained constantly all the time, and, you know, you occasionally come across actors who just wouldn't put that level of effort in, and then, you know, that this kind of has a little dent in the machine, but it kind of, you see someone working that hard and you kind of want to put as much work in as them.
Paul Dano also takes on a new reimagined version of the Riddler, who switches his flashy neon green suit for a new look that took viewers by surprise, a green military jacket and a U.S. military extreme cold weather mask that was inspired by the real-life Zodiac killer.
I spent a lot of time thinking about the Batman. I love the idea that you can't really have Batman without his villains or his rogues gallery, but I love that you couldn't have this Riddler without the Batman. And I think the dynamic between them, which I you could tell just the way Matt talked about in the storytelling with the camera, there's some boundary there that is really, I think, beautifully explored, and there's more murkiness to the morality. It's less just hero and villain in black and white, and there's not just protecting the status quo. There is something wrong in this city, And it's really complicated to have a villain who some of his ideas are not wrong. It's maybe the execution is a little off. But I found that to be really complicated and compelling. And I thought that it's Batman, it's Gotham. There's these incredible archetypes at work in this history. But I think the contact with reality in this character, and to come from as emotional and psychological as place as possible, but the contact with reality, I think, is also what makes it, I think, potentially really scary.
The film comes out on March 4th and will launch a new Batman universe. We can expect to see 2 sequels in the future and 2 spin-off television series that are currently in development for HBO Max. For WNUR News, this was Maria Camaño.
If you've been taking a break from Twitter, last Tuesday was February 22nd, 2022, or what we call a palindrome that comes once in a decade. Hope you made a wish. Here's reporter Jennifer Kim with a look at how people celebrated this day.
2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-
Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. To phrase that differently, the date was 2-2-2-2. As you may have guessed, and probably seen on the Twitter memes, this also fell on a Tuesday. So that means it was the number Tuesday. Get it? Now, I don't know how much meaning you attach to this particular date, but it is what people call a palindrome, which basically means, regardless of whether you read it forward or backwards, it reads the same. And these days come once in a decade, so some people consider it quite special. To celebrate this rare date, some couples, families, and friends met up to make unforgettable memories. Did you know that the state capitol in Sacramento, California, opened a collective wedding event? Not so surprisingly, 222 couples gathered at 2:22 p.m. for this large wedding at a price of $222.22. Many other couples hurriedly prepared a wedding in other states as well as in countries abroad.
We saw this date coming up, and it was a day like no other.
I guess in the future, we'll definitely see many couples celebrating this anniversary. What's more surprising is that exactly 22 babies were born on the 22nd of February at a Montgomery hospital. There were twins born on this day, or what the New York Post calls the double lucky babies, born at 2:22 p.m. To make things even better, several hotels and airlines offered discounts for customers who showed up on this day, while others extended their events throughout the week. According to the National Public Radio, the Atlantis Paradise Resort in the Bahamas offered a 22% discount at a starting price of $222. And, of course, fast food restaurants and delivery apps did not miss out on this chance to attract people with a discount. Members of Burger King were rewarded with 22% off for purchases over $2. Meanwhile, Grubhub took off 22% from the delivery fee for anyone who ordered on this day. Especially for those who are amazed by symmetric dates, last Tuesday must have been a day to remember. But for others, it was not the best. Within a day, most of us encountered news that Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a special military operation, simply put, an invasion of Ukraine. And while I'm running out of time to delve deeper into the specifics of the conflict, it is pretty clear that these attacks have led to more than trivial injuries. Those are the sounds from a video on social media that shows Russian tanks as the attacks continue today in Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. It is devastating to have heard such news on a special date, and February 22, 2022 will be remembered by many in different ways. With both light and heavy topics arising in a single day, I hope by the next palindrome, all events only leave a smile, instead of tears and looks of fear. This is Jung and Jennifer Kim signing off from WNUR News.
Again, it's the last day of our annual fundraiser, Phone-a-thon. This is the one time a year we ask our listeners for support to keep our station on air and ad-free. Donate online at wnur.org/donate or call 847-866-WNUR. Again, that's wnur.org/donate or call 847-866-WNUR. All contributions make a difference, and thank you to those who have donated so far. After the break, what is a wildcat? Back in a bit.
You are a waste, a loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit stopbullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Welcome back to WNUR News at 6. And now, a story so nice, we're airing it twice. Our winter quarter special broadcast was last Friday. Reporters submitted stories for NU's Declassified School Survival Guide, or Everything You Need to Know About Northwestern. Reporter Helen Bradshaw decided to investigate Willie, our iconic mascot, and just what exactly a wildcat is. Here she is with more.
It's Friday, and you just got out of your last class at Kresge. Finally the weekend, and you're feeling good. Time to head home and pretend like you don't have a pile of work waiting for you. You're about to walk under the arch, and then you see him. Lest you forget, you go to a Division I school. There he is to remind you. Willie. Willie the Wildcat. He's there taking selfies with everyone who's about to cross Sheridan. But getting a selfie is the last thing on your mind. You lock eyes. Yours, distressed. His, cartoonish. He looks like a wolf-cat hybrid.
What even are you?
You whisper in his furry white ears. He whispers back. Once again, perplexed by your school's mascot, you have no choice but to dig around. What even is a wildcat?
Yeah, it's really confusing.
That's Rue Campbell. He's a wildcat researcher and mammal advisor for Scotland's nature conservation agency, NatureScot.
So for me, a wildcat is, well, that depends again. You could classify it as any truly true native small cat that lives wild in the world. So that's a very broad description. We tend to use wildcat specifically to mean European wildcats in this country, because that's our only small cat that's native.
Northwestern hasn't always been the wildcats. First, there was Furpaw, a live bear brought to the games in a cage from the Lincoln Park Zoo. It wasn't until 1924 when a reporter at the Chicago Tribune referred to the football team as playing like wildcats that the team got its current name. Since, there have been other variations, including Wilhelmina and Winnie, but Willie is the one who stuck around. But there are several animals that fall under the category of wildcat. What is Willie?
my goodness. Is so some of them look more dog-like than cat-like, I have to say. Yeah, it looks, that looks like a cross between a fox and a cat to my mind. That's quite interesting looking animal, actually. Could be a very unusual species of wildcat, couldn't it?
In the US, there are several species of wildcats, but only two look remotely similar to Willie: the Canada lynx and the bobcat.
I suppose Willie could sound like a lynx, at least somewhat. Listen to the call used at football games. While they make a myriad of calls, here's one example of a Canada lynx. But there aren't Canada lynx in Illinois. But there are bobcats, which belong to the genus lynx. Here's what they sound like. So maybe Willie's a bobcat, maybe he's not. But if he's a wildcat of some kind, he probably shouldn't look like how he does.
Well, most of your listeners will know what a domestic cat looks like. And a wildcat is related loosely to the domestic cat. And in fact, wildcats form a group of, the European wildcat's one of a group of cats, the six species that are all quite closely related. And they include the European wildcat and the African wildcat. And then there's a few others, smaller species that exist there as well. And the domestic cat came from the African wildcat. The European wildcat and the African wildcat at some point, maybe a million years ago or something, split. And what we have within Europe is this large tabby cat that looks a bit like a domestic cat. It's about a kilo heavier, typically, so 20% heavier. What's a kilo in US pounds? About 2 and a bit pounds heavier. It's a stripy cat, tabby, and it's most crucially got a thick, blunt-tipped tail. So it's got this club-like tail that's really distinctive compared with your typical domestic cat. But it's still easily confused by a lot of people.
Even if they look cute and cuddly, wild cats are certainly not. In fact, they can be very aggressive, making wildcat a fitting name for a sports team. So much so that wildcat is the fourth most common mascot among Division I schools. While he might not be the most realistic, Willie is at least more cat-like than a few of these other mascots, but he has a lot of room for improvement. According to Campbell, Willie could take some notes from actual wildcats. Just because they may look similar to domestic house cats doesn't make them any less ferocious of predators.
Maybe you should update your mascot so it looks even cooler than it already does. So your mascot looks great, of course, but wildcats look so fantastic. I think it'd be quite special.
Maybe we should update our football game sound effects too. For WNUR News, I'm Helen Bradshaw.
In the headlines today, the state of Illinois lifted its mask mandate today as new cases and hospitalization rates fall. Governor J.B. Pritzker had intended that the mask requirement remain in effect for schools, but other government action invalidated that order. However, some schools will continue to require masking. The shell company has announced they are pulling out of Russia as President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine continues. The company said today it will exit joint ventures with Russia's state-owned energy giant Gazprom and other entities. Shell also intends to end its involvement in the now-halted Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline. And on the pitch, world soccer body FIFA and European authority UEFA has banned Russian teams from competing in qualifying matches for the 2022 World Cup. This high-level punishment comes after the International Olympics Committee urged sports governing bodies to exclude Russian athletes and officials from international events. Taking a look at the weather, it's delightfully warm today with sunny skies and a current temperature of 51 degrees. Tonight, you can expect cloudy skies with a low around 33 degrees. Warmer weather will continue into Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the 40s. Sunshine will continue until Thursday and Friday when cloudy skies will dominate again. Temperatures, too, will drop to the high 30s. Going into the weekend, you can expect rain starting on Friday night with highs in the 40s and 50s. So stay cool and stay dry. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on Twitter at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other stories of the day on our Spotify, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You can also find us on our new website, WNUR.news. Our producer today is Zach McCrary. Our reporters are Trevor Duggins, Maria Camagno, Jennifer Kim, and Helen Bradshaw. I'm Allison Round. From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. Catch our next show this Wednesday, March 2nd at 6 p.m. Now back to scheduled programming.